There is a rhythm or a pattern to Christian faith, to Christian life. It is not accidental. It is not random. It is not left to our preferences or our personalities. It's a rhythm that God himself establishes, a pattern woven throughout Scripture and pressed into the life of the church. We see it clearly in today's readings, all of which share something in common. They all take place on a mountain. And on those mountains, God teaches his people a deliberate rhythm. Ascend, receive, descend, and serve. Mountains matter in the Bible because they are places of encounters with God. They rise above the noise and the chaos below, creating a place for clarity. God is not confined to high places. God is everywhere. Human beings, though, often need elevation to distance themselves from distraction, to see and hear rightly. Again and again, God draws his servants upward, not so they remain there, but so they can receive what they will later need in the valleys of ordinary life. Jesus follows this pattern himself. He ascends the mountain with Peter, James, and John. He does not go there to teach them a lesson or issue instructions. He goes there to give them a gift. On the Mountain of Transfigurations, the disciple receives something that they could never produce on their own, a glimpse of Christ's hidden glory. His appearance changes, his face shines, his clothes blaze with unearthly brightness. Moses and Elijah appear bearing witness that the law and the prophets find their fulfillment in him. Nothing about this moment is achieved by the disciples. They do not climb higher to earn insight. They do not ask the right questions. They do not demonstrate understanding. They simply receive. Even Peter's attempt to respond, to build tents, to preserve the moment, reveals how little he grasps what is actually happening. This is not a moment to be managed or maintained. It is a revelation to be received. The voice from the cloud makes this perfectly clear. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. God doesn't say you need to understand everything right now. He doesn't say you need to capture this experience. He says, listen to him. Receive the gift. The mountain experience is not about doing. It is about receiving. Years later, Peter reflects on this moment in the epistle reading. By then, the mountain lies far behind him. The church is facing persecution, confusion, and false teaching. But Peter does not point believers inward to spiritual experiences or outward to some clever arguments. He points them back to what was given. We did not follow cleverly devised myths, he writes. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. The transfiguration was real. The glory was seen. The voice was heard. Yet Peter does something striking. He doesn't tell the church to chase that experience once again. Instead, he points them to something that's even more enduring. We have the prophetic word more fully confirmed. The mountain experience confirmed what Scripture had already promised. And Scripture, Peter says, is a lamp shining in a dark place. Here, that rhythm begins to move. The mountain gives clarity, but it doesn't eliminate the darkness. The word does not shine on the mountain. It shines after the descent. God never intends his people to live permanently in moments of visible glory. He intends them to live by faith, sustained by what they have received. This rhythm was already present in last week's Sermon on the Mount. That sermon too begins with ascent. Jesus goes up to the mountain and sits down. From that elevated place, he speaks identity into his disciples. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. These are not commands. They are declarations. These are gifts given before any action is required. Salt doesn't strive to become salt. Light doesn't struggle to shine. They are what they are by their nature. And so are the disciples. Jesus doesn't say, try harder to preserve the world. What he does say is, you are salt. He does not say, figure out how to be brighter. But he does say, you are light. On the mountain, they receive who they are in Christ. But salt does nothing sitting in a bowl. Light does nothing hidden under a basket. The mountain moment is not the destination. It is the preparation. Once again, the rhythm unfolds. Ascend, receive, and then descend. The descent is where our faith is tested. The disciples leave behind the brilliance of the transfiguration and walk back into confusion, suffering, misunderstanding. Jesus himself descends the mountain and immediately sets his face toward Jerusalem. The glory that he experienced and was revealed on the mountain does not divert him from the cross. It strengthens him and his disciples for it. This is why Peter's emphasis on the word matters so deeply. When the visible glory fades, when the memory grows distant, when the valley feels long and dark, God doesn't leave his people empty-handed. He gives them his word, the lamp that continues to shine even when our sight fails. The Christian life is not sustained by constant mountaintop experiences. It is sustained by what God has spoken and promised. The mountain reveals who Christ is. The word carries that truth into the world, into every place that we must go. The church has long given voice to this reality in the hymn that we just sang. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here. And so right it is. It is good to ascend. It is good to receive. It is good to behold Christ's glory, to stand with Peter and say, in effect, this is where we belong. The hymn captures the wonder of the transfiguration with words Peter himself could have spoken. Thy face and garments like the sun shine with unborrowed light. But the hymn doesn't allow us to stay there. We sang in verse 5 that 'tis good, Lord, to be here, yet we may not remain. But since thou bidst us leave the mount, come with us to the plain. Those words gently again teach the same rhythm that scriptures proclaim. The glory is real, but it's not the end. The vision strengthens faith, but faith must walk on. What is revealed on the mountain is meant to sustain us for the road ahead. And so that very same rhythm continues, not only in the scriptures, but in the life of the church. Week after week, God calls his people upward. We gather, we step out of the world's constant noise and demands. We confess our sins. We hear absolution. We listen to God's word. We receive Christ's true body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins and life everlasting. None of this is earned. All of it is a gift. This is our ascent. This is where we receive. And then comes the dismissal. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Those words are not a polite ending. They are sending us out into the world. We descend again into homes, workplaces, schools, hospitals, and communities that desperately need what we have just received. We go not as spiritual tourists chasing the next experience, but we go as people formed and fed by Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is where salt and light do their work. Preservation happens quietly. Light often shines unnoticed. Service is rarely dramatic. Yet this is precisely how God works. The same Christ whose glory once shone on the mountain now hides himself in ordinary means and sends his people into ordinary lives, carrying extraordinary grace. Right here is deep comfort for weary believers. Much of life feels like a valley. Faith can feel routine and sometimes even dull. The excitement of earlier seasons may be fading. But Peter reminds us that God's promises are not dependent on how vivid our experiences feel. The word remains salt. Christ remains the light. What was received is not lost. As the season of Epiphany draws to a close and Lent approaches, the church stands at a threshold. We have ascended. We have seen Christ's glory. And now we follow him downward towards suffering, repentance, and the cross. And yet the light does not disappear. It shines most clearly there, right here, where Christ gives himself for the life of the world. The rhythm, the pattern, is deliberate. Ascend, receive, descend, and serve. This is the pattern of Christ's life. This is the pattern of the church's worship. This is the pattern of the Christian life until one day when we go the final ascent, when faith gives sight, gives way to sight, and the glory that we glimpse now will no longer fade. Amen.